you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ. This is Clayton Wood, Jim Wood's son, and I am going to be speaking to you today about grief. I'm going to be speaking to you today about some thoughts about some recent deaths in our society, things that we can glean from those lives and their deaths, and ways in which we can show up for one another in the hopes that we provide the kind of blessed community that it seems to me that two celebrities in the news in recent days were missing. Let me open us with a word of prayer. Lord, I pray that today's show will be one that honors and glorifies you, that people will be able to listen to it and meditate on your goodness, the great gift of life, the greatness of that that is far too valuable to squander. We think so easily about the righteous aversion that we have to something like suicide. But Lord, it is so easy to throw away our life in distractions, in pursuits of things that don't matter, and the things that do not bring you glory, and often even in things that bring us pain. Lord, I pray that we will find the community where we can walk together in joyful obedience to you and bring honor and glory to your name. We'll be careful to give you all the praise. There were two deaths in this last week or so that were big news. One of the deaths concerned someone that I was a fan of, and the other was the death of someone who I was not deeply aware of. But when I considered the death of both at relatively young ages, it made me ponder what those deaths mean. So I wrote about this, an essay that I titled, "Being Known is Not the Same Thing as Being Loved." Hayden Panettiere died on Sunday. She was 36 years old. If you grew up watching her, the news might hit harder than you expect. She was the little girl in Remember the Titans. She was the cheerleader who could not die in the television program Heroes. She was later the tremendously talented Juliet Barnes in the television program Nashville. Earlier this year, she became a New York Times bestselling author with a memoir about the much harder story behind the celebrity. I didn't write anything really when Jason Arde died this last Friday, a week ago, but his death has stayed with me too. As I pondered their deaths, I kept arriving at the same idea that being known is not the same thing as being loved. Celebrity is not community. Credentials are not community. And neither one can replace a handful of people who actually know who you are and love you well through suffering. I was a fan of Hayden. I enjoyed watching her on Nashville. For years, she was engaged to Vladimir Klitschko, the father of her child. He's a world heavyweight champion in boxing, a brilliant Ukrainian man who has made millions in his chosen career. Famously, he and his brother both served as heavyweight champions at different times, some of the greatest boxers of all time, and giant people. Hayden was 5 feet tall. Vladimir is about 6'8". He's the father of her child, and I liked him and remember thinking that this tiny, vulnerable-looking star had found her protector. Watching her life from a distance, it was easy to hope that love, marriage, motherhood, or simply finding the right person might finally give her a safe place to land. But her life was marked by the tragedy of falling into abusive relationships, the uneasy bargain of being a celebrity, while feeling wary of being used, substance abuse, and mental health struggles. In all of that, Hayden's death speaks to something bigger than her own story. She starred in a TV show about a girl who could not be destroyed. Her life showed how hard it is to actually survive being a celebrity, particularly a child star, putting the pressure on someone to even know if they want to make the decision of being a star when they're a child seems unfair. A story I don't often talk about is the fact that when I was a child, I was a child model and a child actor. My little brother Andrew did the same things. Stephanie Austin was our agent in Atlanta with Atlanta's Young Faces. At one point, I was asked to come to castings for the new Mickey Mouse Club. Our family wasn't rich. We didn't spend a lot on something like Disney, but I had heard of it and was honored to go to casting, call back, and to sing and perform and act. And they thought that I was funny and outgoing and confident. My dancing was terrible then in the 1980s. It is still terrible today in 2026. But it looked as if I was going to be a part of that show, and all we had to do was move to Orlando, Florida. My father made it clear that God had put him in charge of our family, that God had called him to pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, that he wasn't going to send me to another city as a child without my parents, and that he wasn't willing to split our family so that I could pursue being a child star. And at times that has seemed to me to be a cruelty of my dad. How could he take this away from me, this grand opportunity? But other times, especially today, especially in middle age, especially with children of my own, I appreciate the wisdom of my father, realizing that that life and those choices weren't ones that you should allow an 8 or 9 year old to make, and that the celebrity I craved would not have brought good things to my life from a spiritual and an emotional perspective. Hayden is not the only child celebrity, child star to suffer for the rest of her life, in part because of the fame that she achieved before she was old enough to vote. Jason Arday had become the youngest black professor in Cambridge University's history. He had an extraordinary ascent into one of the most rarefied credentialing institutions in the world. He was still under investigation when he died, after serious questions emerged about plagiarism and about parts of his extraordinary personal story. Some of the claims that he made are clearly fabricated. He lied as a serial fabulist. Some of them still remain disputed. Arday insisted that he had made mistakes but was not a liar. He was a man in an existential crisis who couldn't reconcile what he wanted others to believe about himself and the truth. And ultimately, he preferred to embrace the bleakness of annihilation over stepping away from shame and into forgiveness and repentance. I felt very sad reading about him. Whatever ultimately proved true or false, there was something terribly sad about watching a man who had climbed to the top of academia and then have his identity publicly picked apart. When I thought about all the lies he told, it made me wonder what could make a man with so much accomplishment, still feel that the truth about himself was not enough. What Hayden and Jason had in common was not fame or tragedy. Their stories reminded me instead how desperately all of us need the kind of community that celebrity, credentials, achievement, and romance can never replace. God made us for community. Satan wants us in shame and isolation. I'm going to say that again. God made us for love and community. Satan wants us in shame and isolation. For years, when I'm getting to know someone and have only a short time with them, I've sometimes asked if I can preach the shortest sermon they have ever heard. Oftentimes, people have enough of a curiosity, in part to see if someone as long-winded as I am can possibly say something short. But even people who I've just met, who aren't sure what I'm getting at, often give assent to hear the shortest sermon they've ever heard. Here's the whole sermon. I pray you are surrounded by people who love Jesus and love you. I've literally prayed that over dozens of people. I prayed that today at lunch at a gas station here in Wears Valley with a man who told me he had come to faith in Christ but hadn't been in church in 20 years. Oftentimes, as I pray that heartfelt prayer, people respond with tears. I think that this is a particular cultural context that provokes that. And what I mean is this. Oftentimes, when I say that I want them surrounded by people who love Jesus and love them, it hits them twice because they're aware enough to know that the people who are around them both do not love Jesus and do not love them. The kind of Christ-like love that I'm talking about, that I want people surrounded by, is not a transactional love. It's not a love that's there when you're throwing a party and ends when you're bankrupt. The kind of love that the prodigal got when he was spending his money freely is a love that is readily available across America. If you're buying friends, there's a lot of people who are on offer. Their hourly rates vary, but they will be with you for any good time you want to have. If you rent a big enough yacht, you can fill it for sure with people who want to be on a yacht. It's not real friendship. It's a really lonely, sad, and depressing place to be. Rich celebrities find that over and over again. Being the center of attention, the center of adulation, the center of gratitude even from a group of people for whom you've done something doesn't feel the same. And so, the source of the love that I desire for others to see, to feel, and to know is love that comes from Jesus. Love that is not conditional. Love that is not transactional. And that is a love that many people have enough of a residual idea about that they're aware when they don't have it. So, again, the sermon is this simple. I pray you're surrounded by people who love Jesus and love you. Hayden, dying of a drug overdose in a luxury apartment in Greenville, South Carolina, was not surrounded by people who loved Jesus or who loved her. She needed someone to say no to her drug issues. She needed someone to stop enabling her. She needed someone to grab her and take care of her and remove her from dangerous situations. And sadly, she didn't have that. That kind of love is something that makes all the difference. Grace is available. Forgiveness is possible. And struggles should bring support and not shame. I am astonished and grateful in many different places to have developed friendships with, to be surrounded by, to spend time with people who are struggling with addiction. And the reason that it's such a blessing, such a pleasure for me to be around them is because so often people who are struggling with addiction are people who are succeeding at a very high level in terms of vulnerability, in terms of honesty, in terms of starting over, and watching them follow Christ, watching them live in freedom, watching them move away from shame and isolation and run towards love and community is a beautiful thing. The enemy is the father of lies, and he will tell people, you are condemned. You do not deserve the love of God. You have screwed up too much. You have gone too far. You are unlovable. And the truth of Scripture says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's always room at the foot of the cross. Life is a precious gift. Professional success, fame, wealth, and acclaim cannot give us peace. Sometimes they only make it harder to recognize what actually can. So, as you remember the families of the two people, Jason Arday, Hayden Pantier, who died far too young this month, I pray that if you've been blessed with real community, you will cherish it. And I pray you'll also look around for someone you can bring inside it. The people who you talk to about church, sometimes you might need a push. You might need some specific advice. I grew up watching my dad do this. I will never forget. It was a remarkable move of the Spirit, but it was possible in that moment because of my dad's obedience to God's prompting. I'll never forget coming from a park and ride at the Atlanta airport to the airport. My dad praying with someone to receive Jesus as his Lord and Savior in that short ride. The man who he was talking to was the driver. Sharing the gospel with people who can't get up and leave or scoot away is something that he and I have in common. But that driver was not doing well. He was struggling. It was clear he was struggling. And as my dad talked to him, it was also clear to that man that my dad genuinely cared about him, that he was concerned about his life, that he wanted to hear about his struggles. And when that man brought his struggles to my dad brought him to the only answer for the God-shaped hole in his heart. He talked to him about Jesus. And that man understood that he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And he knew that he wanted a change in his life. As you go through life, when you ask the Holy Spirit to bring people who are hurting to you, when you ask the Holy Spirit to show you places where you might intervene, you will find that you are surrounded by lonely people. You're surrounded by hurting people. You're surrounded by broken people. There's some very laid-back opportunities. I don't know, as you listen, where you're listening from. If you're in the American South, it's an easy opener in conversation to say, you have a church you like around here? You have a church you like around here can tell you a lot depending on what they want to say. There are people who are hostile to God. There are people who are hostile to church. But there are often people who say, I don't go to church, but I think I should. I don't go to church, but I know I should. I don't go to church, but when I was 9, I went to a VBS. I don't go to church, but I believe in God. Oftentimes, those people are one brief step away from saying, I don't go to church, but I crave community. I don't go to church, but I'm lonely. I don't go to church, but I want someone to love me. And because of Jesus, you can invite them to the great banquet feast. I love that story in Scripture. I love that story because it's a story of invitations that are going out to the people who are missing the feast because of their busyness. They are invited to the greatest feast with the greatest host ever. And they've got things that they consider more important. I have to go look at a field. I have to go. There's excuse after excuse after excuse. And the host, the representation of God, tells his servant, go to the hedgerows. Go to the gutters. Go to the lowly. Go to the people that you know don't have anything going on and don't have anything to do, because they're literally laying next to the road, and bring them in. Bring them in. Bring them to this great banquet feast. What's really tragic when you see cases like Panchier's and like our days is that they are people who you know in the hours before they died were at the end of their rope. They were done. They felt terrible. They were within themselves convinced that there was no hope. And we have a hope that does not disappoint. The author of life has given us new life, and has given us the blessing and the mandate to share his love with a lost and dying world. That's a tremendous honor. It's a tremendous blessing. It's too late for those two celebrities, but it's not too late for the people who you work with who don't know Jesus. It's not too late for the people you go to school with who don't know Jesus. It's not too late for the family member that you've been praying for desperately for years. They can know the love of Christ. They can know your love. They can know that there is something better for them, that there is an answer for them, that there is hope for them. And again, that can be expressed, that can be connected relationally. God loves you. Because of God's love for you, I love you. Bring them alongside, bring them inside to the blessed community that you possess. And if you're listening today and you're thinking, I don't have a community, we'd love to pray for you. You can contact us at wvr.org. WVR.org, Ware's Valley Ranch. You can click an Abiding in Christ button there and talk to us through the radio show. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to pray for you. But guys, if you live on North Sentinel Island, then I don't have a church to recommend to you. But goodness, if you live in the United States, in any of our 50 states, I know that there are people close by who love Jesus, and who will love you if they get the chance to know you. If you don't have community, I pray you'll seek it out. If you have community, I pray that you'll seek out those who are in need. Bring them alongside. Tell them the good news that we, in this broken, in this fallen world, serve a perfect Savior who lived a perfect life and died to pay the penalty that we deserve for our sins, so that we might be forgiven and have new life in him and live for all eternity in his presence. Thank you for listening. I pray that this will be a blessing to you. I pray that it will be a challenge to you. I want you to go and reach out and find lonely people and grab them and bring them to the banquet feast. I'm preaching to myself. I pray that that will be something that God opens many doors for me to do in the coming week. God bless you. Thanks for listening. I'd love to hear from you. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41abide. That's our toll-free number, 866-41abide, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.